Welcome to the Spring into Summer Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I am so incredibly excited to introduce to you the incredible, the amazing Miss Tina Beach. Tina, why don't you take it from here?
All right. Oh, man, I feel like it was just on the Gong Show there or something really quick. It's dating myself a little bit there. But hi, everyone. This is Tina Dietz, and I'm really happy to be with you today. We're going to talk today about unleashing your voice into the world and using audio as a medium to do it. So it's apropos that I'm with you today on an audio-only summit. So you can kind of get an idea and a feel for if you're here, then other people are certainly doing the same thing as well, listening to audio, and we're going to get into it because there are millions of people listening, and I want you to know how to reach them. And this might sound a little counterintuitive, but I care passionately about the future of this planet. And what that has to do with audio is that it's people like us. It's the coaches, the speakers, the teachers, the healers. We're the ones who have been given the opportunity to shape that future. And our voices are our built-in vehicle. They're a primary tool that we can use to make a difference. So think about the number of hours you've spent either working on or learning about or trying to get your message out into the world. We're always looking to reach more people who could benefit from what we do, and even more so, we're looking for ways to reach people that have them feel like we're right there with them and helping them. Now, for those of you not familiar with who I am and my work, I've been helping businesses and organizations build their clientele and create new and expanded income streams and their business strategy for more than 15 years. I'm a therapist as well as a fourth-generation entrepreneur. And my sweet spot is helping people find creative ways that they can get the business results they want and also have the lifestyle they want at the same time. And I call this having a business oasis. A business oasis is a business that nurtures and refreshes everyone associated with it, including and most importantly, you. In my business oasis, creativity, self-expression, freedom, and joy are some of my core values. They're incredibly important to me. So in addition to being a business strategist and coach, I'm also a voice actor. I grew up with a deep love of musical theater and the stage, and I wanted to pursue that as a career. But when I got out into that whole real world thing, I found that in reality, professional theater wasn't a good fit for the lifestyle that I wanted to have. So I designed my business oasis to satisfy my creative self-expression and serve others at the same time with live speaking gigs like this and on stages, with podcasting, with voice acting, and helping other creative people like you bring your voice to the world through your products, your audiobooks, your podcasts, and even your videos. There is a deep satisfaction when a message comes to life, when it lights on fire, when you see your book for sale for the first time on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or your course goes live, or the moment you get that first email from someone who listened to your audiobook and it caused a breakthrough for them. That's magic. But here's the thing about having a powerful message. You may have a very clear intention of the difference you want to make and the legacy you want to leave on this planet, but what we can't account for, we cannot control for, is really what someone will get out of or take away from our message. I'll give you a little example. My life changed forever at the county fair when I was 7 years old. Now, my parents owned a wood-burning stove and fireplace business, very sexy, and I grew up inside of that business, and they had a booth at every fair and every home show, all of them. And the fair is a very different place when you spend all day, every day there. There's no money for rides, you do not get cotton candy, and you learn very, very fast to make your own fun. So as I was wandering around at the age of seven, and this is the 1970s, you know, when children still ran free, so I was wandering around by myself, and I'm, you know, looking at the homemade fudge and the deer jerky and the crocheted stuff, and suddenly I heard this powerful voice. I couldn't help it. I was completely drawn to it. I had to find its source, and this whole world opened up for me on that day. The voice was like a laser cutting through this noise, and I remember every word to this day. And I listened to that voice over and over, and by the end of the day, I knew what my purpose in life was. I knew that I was on this planet to help show people a better way to do things, how to change their lives through creativity and innovation, and that I could help people simplify and streamline their lives to get things done faster and better, and they would be happier, and they would be more satisfied, and I had found my calling. I was watching the Ginsu knife demonstration. I actually still feel like I'm being blessed every time I hear the words, but wait, there's more. But did the Ginsu guy at the Erie County Fair intend to give a 7-year-old girl her calling in life? No. He was there to sell knives. But that's what happened. And what he was really doing, and this is something I actually would love for you to write down if you can, he was delivering a consistent, congruent, powerful message that was designed to have an impact that fulfilled a need. I'm going to say that again. He was delivering a consistent, congruent, powerful message that was designed to have an impact that fulfilled a need. Maybe a need that people didn't even know they had. Do people go to a carnival or a fair looking for knives? Probably not. But 50% of the people that Ginsu knife guy talked to walked away with one. Happy, satisfied, feeling like they had made a purchase that made a difference in their lives. That's the power of voice. That's the power of your message. So now let's talk about how you can use some of these mediums to build your audience, build your income, build your influence with audio and leverage this, what I'm calling an audio revolution that's happening right now. And why I'm saying that we're having an audio revolution is because you just have to, you know, look down into your purse or on your desk, walk down any street, and what do you see? People with their phones. They're everywhere. They're ubiquitous. We're never without them. Just for starters, and just speaking about audiobooks and audiobooks and podcasting, which is what we're going to focus on today, the audiobook segment of publishing is growing 3 times faster than any other type of publishing, and more than 1/3 of Americans are listening to podcasts. We got some earbuds on all the time. We're always listening to stuff. And even if maybe this is not something that you do, the vast majority of people in North America are. All the way from young age 18, even as low, as young as age 12, all the way through the more mature demographics across the board. This is what's happening. Now, there's all kinds of ways to use audio in your business, including podcasting and audiobooks, which is what we're going to focus on today. But there's also webinars, teleclasses, telesummits, like what you're listening to right now, and, of course, audio courses. You know, a couple of big names, Zig Ziglar and Tony Robbins, they published a lot of best-selling books. But the interesting little fact for you, both of them have had more sales and more downloads of their audio programs over the years than any of their books. They really have stood the test of time. And this is now what we're seeing with audio. It's very durable. It lasts. It's something that is just so pervasive, and yet it's not what most of us lead with when we're thinking about developing a product. Most of us think, oh, I'm going to make a best-selling book so I can be a best-selling author. We can add that on. Or I'm going to become a speaker, and then I'm going to develop a course to go along with it. Now, the course might be audio, but a lot of times that's, you know, a second or third thought after we've developed everything else. So we really need to bring audio to the top of the list when it comes to developing your products, because the numbers are there, the longevity is there, and the cost of production has plummeted. So let's start with audiobooks. And it was through my experience being trained in the process of creating audiobooks as a voice actor that I discovered the disconnect in the publishing world between business owners who are also authors and audiobooks. And I have so many clients and colleagues who have published a book in the last 10 years, particularly with the rise of independent self-publishing being so widely available. It seemed like a no-brainer to me that everyone I knew should just go ahead and get their books turned into audiobooks. But when I would talk with people about it, I would just get blank stares because no one knew how to get an audiobook created or knew that you didn't have to do the voice yourself. It's beautiful to outsource it, or that you could get your audiobook up onto Audible.com, Amazon.com, and iTunes all at the same time. So here I was sitting with all this how-to knowledge to help people make the most out of their hard work. It takes a lot to write and publish a book. To go through all that effort and then not leverage your book in every way possible to expand your audience and your income and your influence just seems crazy to me. Now, if you're not already a lover of audiobooks, you might be asking yourself why, you know, well, what are some of the deeper facts here about turning a book into an audiobook and what the advantage is? So a couple of things you need to know besides what I've already spoken about in terms of it being the fastest growing segment of the entire publishing industry. What that looks like in numbers is that 1.5 million more audiobooks were downloaded last year than ebooks. Ebooks is actually the next fastest growing segment. At the same time, here's a crazy thing. Because of the technology and accessibility now available to us, the cost of producing an audiobook has come down 50% since 2009. So audiobook production is one of the few things on this planet that costs less now than it did 7 years ago. Can you think of anything else that costs less now than it did 7 years ago? The other factor is that listening to audiobooks has gotten so much easier, even in just the last couple of years. Rather than having to deal with CDs and getting things shipped or having to produce, you know, hard products, all of our audiobooks are now accessible through our phones and laptops. There's no barrier to where and when we can listen, and people really do listen. On average, in the U.S. alone, people read about 12 books a year, but audiobook listeners listen to an average of 17 books a year. One of my colleagues, Ellen Rogan, who's a New York Times bestselling author, she was on my show, and I was talking with her about podcasting. And I was talking to her about audiobooks. And then I was on her show about a month later, and she was so excited when I got on the phone. She said, "Tina, I've been dying to tell you this. I've been waiting for this interview with you." What happened? So, well, I talked with my publisher after you and I talked about audiobooks. And, you know, when they asked me to do an audiobook, I hadn't thought much of it. But, Tina, my audiobook has sold more copies than my Kindle book, and we never promoted it. We only promoted the Kindle book, and it sold more copies. It even sold more, you know, more copies of the audiobook, including the free versions of the Kindle book that we gave away. So that is the power of audio. People want it. They're hungry for it. They're looking for it. There's an especially big opportunity for nonfiction authors right now because very few nonfiction books are being turned into audiobooks yet. And that's a huge market advantage for any author with good content. Most books that have a good, solid narrative are a good candidate to be turned into an audiobook, even if they're technical. Because if you have a technical book, putting it into audio can be a big advantage because it allows people to feel as though they're being taught the material. And many times people will purchase both the print book and the audiobook version so they have multiple options. And this depends, of course, on people's learning styles, but if we have a visual medium and we have an audio medium, it really reinforces the learning. Now, when should you not turn your book into an audiobook? Well, honestly, I prefer to evaluate that on a case-by-case basis because many times a book that at first glance doesn't seem to be a natural fit to be turned into an audiobook, say a book that involves a lot of charts and graphs or a cookbook or a travel guide, there are some creative ways that you can use audio to create additional products from your book to help bring you more readers and fans. That's unfortunately outside of our scope today, but I want to let you know that that is there so that you can put a pin in that for a future date because it's so important to leverage your work. Put so much time and energy into developing it. You want to use it as many ways as possible. Now, speaking of creating more readers and fans, I'm going to turn my attention for a few minutes now to podcasting, and then I'll share with you some resources and next steps both to produce your audiobook or podcast on a total do-it-yourself basis, or if you'd like more support and want to have a personal strategy session, I'll show you how to do that too. Podcasting. Okay, so what's the difference between podcasting and radio? Well, there's not a whole lot of difference, to be quite honest. Podcasting is basically having an on-demand radio show, either live or pre-recorded, and it can be on any topic or format you like. You can do it from home. You don't have to go into a studio to do it. The biggest distributor of podcasts is iTunes, and the other major outlets are Stitcher and iHeartRadio. Now, some of you may have also heard of Blog Talk Radio, but I actually don't recommend working with Blog Talk Radio. So if you are interested in Blog Talk or you have a show on Blog Talk and you want to hear about what you're kind of missing out on by having your show on Blog Talk, then, you know, you're more than welcome to email me that and I'll explain all that. But I want to get to the good stuff here. Google Play also has recently started offering podcasts just about a month and a half ago. And that is a major game changer. To have Google get behind podcasting is a big, big deal because now that makes podcasts accessible to the millions and millions of Android users that have Google Play installed automatically on their phones. Now, a lot of people go into podcasting, going to creating a show, thinking they're going to monetize, can you hear my air quotes, monetize their podcast. And there are a solid half dozen ways to do that, easy, and more than that, actually. But for most small business owners, unless you're planning on pursuing your podcast as your business rather than as a marketing segment of your business and an influence builder for your business, the real juice in podcasting is going to be in three different ways besides monetizing. One is building your influence. Your podcast can give you both an expert platform to share your knowledge and expertise, as well as a way to connect and collaborate with other influencers. On my personal experience with the Start Something show, I was just starting my show. But because I was starting a show and I had colleagues who really trusted me that it was going to be a good show because my reputation producing good audio, I was able to launch my show with three major influencers. Dr. John DeMartini and Marcy Shymoff, both of whom are known worldwide, both of whom were featured in the movie The Secret. Marcy is also a New York Times bestselling author. And Thomas Baylor. Thomas worked with Elvis, and he was an executive producer for Michael Jackson. He worked with Cher. He actually wrote a couple of songs that if you heard them on the radio, you would know what they are, including the song Precious and Few, which is a terrible earworm, so I won't sing it for you. But so these folks were willing to come on my show sight unseen based on my reputation as an audio producer, but also because I had a show, because I had a platform, and I wanted to get their story out to the world. And that really made a huge difference. Now I have these people that I can go to, that I can contact, that I have that have mentored me, that I've actually been able to offer additional resources and help to them. And it goes on and on. You know, I met Bob Berg from The Go-Giver. I've, you know, had all these other people on my show. And that really has helped me develop relationships with folks that if I had just picked up the phone, probably I wouldn't have had a conversation with. So my show was my gift to these influencers who then I can share their message with my audience. And in turn, it helps to grow my audience at the same time. So it really is this beautiful reciprocal situation. Another juicy, juicy bit for podcasting, the second area for small business owners you want to take a look at, is generating high-quality, high-value, leveraged marketing content. Now, I don't love blogging. I would rather speak than write. So if you would rather speak than write and you've got a lot of content and you've got interviews that you're doing or you're doing a solo show, well, now you've got a social object, a recording, that you can then go ahead and use on all different kinds of platforms. You've got social media content that is evergreen. You can pull out quotes. You can create images. You can pull out little snippets and tidbits. You can repurpose little segments of the audio. You can, you know, obviously create blog posts and articles about the topics that you're talking about on your show. The list is really endless when you're talking about creating really wonderful content marketing for your business. And the third area, of course, is growing your audience. Podcasting needs to be, when you're developing a podcast, you want to look to see if there's already an audience for what you're talking about. You know, obviously, you want to look at, you know, market saturation, the number of half-hour entrepreneur interview shows is a lot. You really have to be able to take a unique twist or be a really phenomenal host in order to gain a lot of traction in that particular segment right now. But there's so many other creative options that make it juicy, that because people are looking for new shows and they're looking for new content. But here's the thing about podcasts that's so cool for you. As a business owner, people come to podcasts for the topic, but they stay for the host. So if you're a dynamic person with a cool message, you will build an audience because they're coming for you. Yes, they'll be interested in the guests that you have and all of that, but it's you that they're coming to see, you that they're coming to hear, you who they want, you know, they want in their ears. And that makes customer loyalty, that makes brand loyalty happen for you. And that's where you can really have your audience numbers start to take off with podcasting. Now, we only got a few minutes left here, so I want to make sure there's some questions that you have to ask yourself before you decide you want to dive into podcasting. And then I want to give you some resources for both audiobooks and podcasting before we switch to the Q&A. So the first thing about podcasting is, do you like the sound of your own voice? Are you comfortable speaking into a mic? Because you're going to need to be, or become that way. You don't have to be perfect when you get on a show. I mean, most people, they do, you know, you grow into it. We're not great when we start out our show, but that's okay because it's a weekly or daily or however you're developing your show, you know, frequency, you have the chance to practice, and it's okay. You can talk a little bit. It's all right. You'll get better. The second question is, are you interested and passionate about a topic or topics enough to talk about those topics to other people regularly and take the time to make those topics interesting? That's the key. Entertainment always comes before education when it comes to being on a stage or on a podcast or anything else. Not that you're going to be a fool, but you need to be fun. You need to be entertaining. You need to be engaging or inspiring or one of those adjectives, okay? So, and the key to that is, are you interested and passionate enough to make it interesting for other people? The third question is there an audience out there? And I touched on that already. You want to look for a topic that has an audience that is looking for that topic. And the last question I would ask yourself is, do you want to produce high-quality content on a regular basis but prefer speaking to writing? And I share with you a little bit how I do that. So if you find yourself asking yourself those questions and saying yes, then I would recommend that you look deeper into podcasting as a marketing medium to get your voice out into the world. Now, when I work with clients on their business strategy, I look with them at the entire business, your personality, your strengths, your lifestyle. Your business is an entire living organism, and this is important particularly in marketing because marketing takes up 30 to 50% of your time, energy, and resources, sometimes even more, because otherwise people can't find you. If you start adding marketing strategies as a Band-Aid because you're starting to feel desperate, you're not making enough money, you might find you do yourself more harm than good. So I'm never going to be the person who tells you, I'm never going to be that expert who says, this is the hottest thing ever, you have to jump on this or you're going to miss a huge opportunity. We have to look at utilizing outlets like podcasting and audiobooks as part of a leveraged marketing strategy that is ultimately going to connect you with the right audience, build that audience, and convert them into fans, clients, and customers. So what does all this really take? Well, if you want to do it yourself, for audiobooks in particular, audiobooks are a great way to outsource. You can totally do it yourself. You can do a professional setup in your house for about $150 with a microphone and some noise-canceling equipment. But the issue around doing it yourself is time and consistency. There's a lot of factors when it comes to audio quality. And there's a bunch of audio producers out there who are going to tell you, like, oh, you can just do it quick and easy and we can fix it in post-production. You can't fix everything in post-production. It makes things sound pretty robotic. And all you have to do is go through Audible to find examples of this. When somebody puts you in their ear, the last thing you want to be is subconsciously annoying. And that's why the audio quality is so important. It's so important that it's actually more important to have your message out there than to have it be your specific voice. And that's why I work with a tribe of professional voice actors who specialize in audiobook production so that people's books can be of the highest possible quality and also save you the most time because, let's face it, you're busy. And for every finished hour of audio for an audiobook, it takes about 5 hours to produce. That's a lot of time. Is it worth it in the end? Yeah, because it's going to make you money for the long term, and it's going to build your reputation for the long term. But it's I highly recommend that you consider outsourcing it. If you want to totally DIY it, you can go to acx.com and explore the resources there. That is the common back end for Audible, Amazon, and iTunes for audiobooks, and has some great resources there. There's a lot to learn, but it's all there for you. In terms of podcasting, I think the most downstream way to do podcasting is to grab yourself a decent quality USB microphone. Make sure you've got your area buffered for recording, and basically start experimenting with your topics and your resources. If you want a podcast on your own, you can go to Libsyn.com, Libsyn.com, or go to Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com, and there you can set up your podcasting stream, either doing it live or pre-recorded, and attach it to iTunes so you can start getting it out there and learn all about those particular, all the different steps you need to do to get your podcast out there. So those are totally DIY options you can go ahead and do yourself. And before we get to questions here in just a minute, I just want to point you to one more resource. If you would like to be more deeply supported and you want to have a one-on-one strategy session where we go through soup to nuts, do a full-on business and lifestyle assessment, and then get into your particular podcast or your particular audiobook, this is all about you. This is a full-on fire-hosed recorded strategy session for an hour. They're usually $300 on my website, and if you go to startsomethingcreativebizsolutions.com/shop and you select either the audiobook strategy session or the podcasting strategy session and you enter the code strategy97 at checkout, then that'll take that down to $97. And if you go through that session and you still say, ah, this sucked, which you won't, I promise, but if you did, then I'll simply give you your money back because I need to do my job and I do it well, and I've never had anybody ask for a refund. So we'll make sure that information is up there for you. And it is now 2:25, and it is time for some Q&A.